Ladle Studio. Here's in Shane and the Membrane.
Hello, and welcome to the In Shane and the Membrane podcast. I'm your host, Shane Thompson, and with me, as always, is Jabba to my hut, Ken H.
Talk about the cool In Shane.
That's not bad. That's not. It's not good, but it's not bad.
Where have you heard that before?
I don't even know what you said, so... I don't know.
Not that bad. Good, but not that bad.
You know what's crazy to me is there are people that they try to figure out like these fake alien languages from, you know, Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever. And and then literally talk with each other with these.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, you have taken it a little far.
That was kind of Nerdville before computers. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Right.
Kind of the.
It's scary.
Klingon was a big one on TV shows, sitcoms.
Absolutely. I don't judge. It's not for me, but it just seems like they've gone a little too far.
The next one was the Game of Thrones language, Dothrakian or something.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know. I never. For the record, I never learned a fake language, okay? Never happened. And I'm still working on my Espanol.
Learning the language of English was part of my strategery.
Okay. Ken.
Shane.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. I like to ask because I'm curious about you. You're my friend. I care about you.
Do you?
Yeah. Why? What makes you think that I don't?
Do you?
I think my actions... Have spoken louder.
Just a little
than
while
words.
Ago, you admitted you don't pay that much attention to me.
No, you literally said it. No, you're taking this out of context. I said we were talking on the phone, and I was in the middle of dealing with mud and rain and stuff, and I couldn't concentrate on what you were saying, and I shouldn't have even answered the phone when you called, but I did because I wanted to talk to you anyway, but then I didn't remember anything you said. And I told you while we were talking, like, stop talking to me. I'm not picking up any of this. You're wasting your breath because you're gonna have to tell me.
All I know is you agreed to meet me at midnight at Southeast 23rd and Western.
Why? Did you tell me the reason?
You just got to bring some rubber boots and a water hose.
Okay. Well, if I agree to it, so be it.
All right.
It's
see
like
you tonight.
The Seinfeld soft talker episode. I agreed to wear that the puffy shirt. Anywho. Okay. Listen, I'm good. Thanks for asking, by the way. But I've got two quick stories I want to tell. Okay? Will you indulge me?
Yeah.
Two. That prove not too long ago, one of our episodes, I get them all confused, frankly. But one of them, I made the argument that most, a high percentage of people, I think I probably used like 95%, are good.
Yeah.
Remember? And you, I think you said maybe 60. You're going like somewhere in that ballpark, right?
Yeah, that's a hard measurement, though.
I know it is, but I've got two stories that are going to help me prove my point. You ready? Story number one. So my friend, Philip O.
Shout out.
Yeah.
He was kind enough to help me the other day with my building. It was all day. He helped me, physical labor. Big shout out to him for the help. And it got to a point where I was like, I need a break. I don't know about you, but I need a break. So I was like, hey, let's go. To down to 7-Eleven, and I'll buy you a drink. You know, let's just go take a break, get a drink. And he's like, all right, great. Now, I made him drive, of course, because he's got the nicer vehicle. So
he probably spent more gas than what costs 7-Eleven.
Way more. It's a diesel, and it cost him like $50 for the 5-mile round trip. So we go down there, and first of all, I walk in. There's a couple people by the front door. I don't pay him much attention. We go inside. We go back to the fountain drinks, and there's a few people back there. Kind of, we're waiting on them, and one of them is a woman, middle-aged woman, and she's got a younger child with her, like an 8-year-old, and they're kind of, and she's like, "Oh, it's messed up, or it looks watery, or something." Doesn't matter. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, then I got some Dr. Pepper, and it did look a little funny, but I tasted it. And I said, well, it tastes fine.
A little liquidy?
Yeah, a little, you know.
Wasn't frozen yet, all the way.
Nothing's frozen.
A slushie's frozen?
I said a Dr. Pepper.
Oh, I know you love Dr. Pepper slushies. That's why my brain went there.
Well, so, icies.
Yeah, the icy.
No, I'm not.
Okay, you're just getting regular fountain drink.
I'm working. I need a drink, Ken.
I drink a slushy Dr. Pepper if I was working.
Wow. Wow. Well, that explains a lot, doesn't it?
No, it actually doesn't.
I think people just say that. Yeah. They don't really mean, and they just hope the other person knows what it means. Yada, well, that says a lot, doesn't it? I don't, does it?
What yada, 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 I went home with her.
Exactly. Exactly. So, we're standing there, Philip and I, waiting for our turn, and I get a little Dr. Pepper. Well, there is a credit card sitting there right on the machine, on the drink machine. It's upside down. It's very unnoticeable. And Philip's like, is that your credit card? And I look down, and it actually is the same bank as mine, you know, same color and everything. And I'm like, no, it looks like mine, but it's not mine because I didn't take it out of my wallet. I know it's not mine. And we're both almost afraid to touch it, you know. It's like someone else's credit card. It's a little...
I would do it.
But, yeah, I was going to do it, but Philip went ahead and he picked it up. And he asked the woman, hey, is this your credit card, right? So she looks at him, and with surprise, she's like, yes, it is my credit card. Oh, my goodness, thank you so much, right? So she's shocked that we saw the credit card and we just gave it back to her as opposed to stealing it or something, I guess. Yeah. It's, oh, if any of us get an opportunity to steal, then we're just going to take it. No, you know, so we give it to her and she's very thankful. Okay. Very thankful. So she goes over, she gets in line. I get a drink. None of the beverages in the fountain machine are to Philip's liking.
Shout out.
So he's got to go back and get an expensive drink, a Monster. They're probably $7.50. I don't know what it costs. But I was prepared to pay for it because he gave me a whole day of free labor. So whatever he was going to get, I was going to pay for the record. So he comes back, and I'm right behind the woman, and she gets to the cashier, and she tells her, hey, I want to pay for these guys behind me. And we're both like, you don't need to do that, you know. But she insists. And I'm like, okay, well, that's – and I just had a fountain drink, you know, $1.50 or whatever. And so – and then she kind of makes an off comment of like, oh, you're just so nice or whatever. And I'm once again thinking like, no, we're one of the 95%ers. You didn't get one of the 5%ers, you know, but she was just so shocked that we were so nice. And then of course it kind of, the universe kind of got me back because immediately we go outside and there's two guys out there and they're fundraising for some kind of anti-bullying campaign. You know, the guy's talking to me, and I'm not paying attention at all, like you on the phone the other day. Mm-hmm. I'm looking him right in the eye, but I have no idea what he's saying because I'm like, okay, get to the punchline. You want money or whatever? And they're asking for money, so I'm like, okay, well, I can't. I was about to pay, you know, $7.50 for Philip's fancy drink. And so I should go ahead and donate some money to this cause or whatever, right? It's the right thing to do.
If you believe in it.
I don't believe in it. I'm just saying the universe. No. The universe is just telling. It's anti-bullying, and I don't know what it is. And so I was like, all right, here's $5. And then the guy totally gets me on it. Oh, it's been a slow day, so we got these T-shirts. Normally 30. I'll give it to you for 10 or whatever. I was like, all right, man. That's enough. You got 15. It wouldn't have cost me 15 to buy my drink at Phillips. So we're even now, universe. And I got a T-shirt that I deal. It wasn't even the right size. But that's story number one, and mainly the whole point of that story was to say, that woman, who was very nice to us because she was surprised at how nice we were, and I would argue that we're both part of the 95%ers, okay?
Okay.
There. Story number two.
Number two.
Ironically, this involves number two.
Oh, nice. You got my attention now. Because I stopped listening at the fountain.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I got to bring poop in to get your attention back. Well, whatever. So yesterday, this is literally yesterday, mm-hmm. I'm here in my office. It's a nice office building, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got this bathroom that's very close to me, okay? And I go in there, as I do, to do my business. It was number two. There's a urinal for number one and a toilet for number two. I'm about to sit down, okay? And on top of the toilet paper dispenser, I find this. And I want you to look at this picture that I took of it.
Okay.
And describe it fully to our audience.
Okay.
You may need to put your readers on there, Ken.
I do. Gotta find them.
You can make it bigger. Hey, that's, you missed the joke. You can make it bigger.
So
wow,
it's a metal, the metal industrial double toilet paper holder.
Two big ones, yeah.
So they ripped off, I'm going to say, a piece that's a little bigger than my hand.
Okay, of toilet paper.
Of toilet paper, and wrote a note, said, careful, almost out of TP.
Yes. So this person.
But they took the TP to write that.
Well,
that,
just
that
barely any. Barely any. Barely any. Now.
Yeah.
Now, so my first thought was, why was a woman using this toilet? Right?
It does look like female handwriting.
Because A, it does, and B, a man would never write that. What man would ever warn other men? You know, men, we urinate on the seat and knowing that someone behind us is going to be sitting on it, okay?
Yeah.
That's not
men
true.
Men are disgusting.
Men are disgusting. That's a fact. Now, yes. I don't do that. I raise the seat, just for the record. I grew up with two sisters, so I raised the seat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that person that did that, they're one of the nine. That they didn't need to do that. What do they care that someone's sitting there doing their business and they reach down and they're out of toilet paper? You know, then it's the whole square to spare story, and that's not their problem. Yet they go through the trouble of writing in this note and putting it right there on top. And I looked in there and I made sure there was enough for me. There was. It was low in their defense, but not too low. And our cleaning crew took care of it that night. Restocked it and whatnot. So my point with both of these stories is that's not abnormal. That's the 95 plus percenters, but the 5%ers, the small percentage of bad people that do bad things that burn us,
yeah,
that sticks in our mind so much more to the point that we assume they represent the majority when they do not.
And I have
you just
two,
have to be careful
about
that. I
have two stories today. Of people on the opposite
no,
side.
No,
so it,
no.
So you're.
No.
Jenny and I had this conversation
yesterday. I don't want to hear any stories that offset my stories.
Jenny and I had conversation yesterday about we typically see things that we want to see.
Of course we do.
So, for example, if I told you yes one time, told you no three times, you could come back either way and say, you said yes on this, so why aren't you saying yes on that? You know, put it into a different story and use that as an example. Or you could say, if I say yes once or twice but said no three times, you could say, well, you always say no.
That's what she said.
She did. That's the second part of our conversation. Are you done with your dumb stories now?
I got to pick up the slack because you're totally dropping the ball on those, by the way.
Okay, let me give, I'm going to give the.
Yeah, I'm done with my
let
stories.
Let me give the public a public service announcement.
Okay.
So this episode in planning, we never pull back the curtain and tell people what goes on behind the scenes. But this one, we're probably going to be recording an episode after this that will be played before this one. So this one's maybe a week and a half down the road.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about a relevant topic over the last few days. So,
okay.
So
okay.
That's the little public service announcement.
Consider yourself
warned.
Educated. I was going to go with educated because you pull back the curtain. It's educating.
And it just happens to be these are kind of two sports
privileged.
Related. You've made it very clear we are not a sports
no,
podcast.
No, we are not.
So we're going to talk about some stuff and then dive into the things around it.
Do you think Amy S. cares at all about sports? And she is a staple of this podcast, Ken.
Let me talk
do you understand?
To her. Let me talk to her.
Go ahead. Amy. You better be nice, though.
I'm going to be very nice.
Okay.
Amy.
Shout out.
Hopefully you're listening to the podcast because of our conversations. You like listening to Shane and I. And we will continue that, even though the topic may be sports. Yeah, make fun of us. That's fine.
Yeah, but she doesn't care about sports. I'm saying a lot of people don't care about sports. And those people don't like when people who do care about sports talk nonstop about sports. I get that,
right? Do we do that?
No, we don't do that. But I'm telling you, I'm conscious of it. And therefore,
I
don't want to do
it. How many of us have had a sports podcast topic and picked it?
None.
You. Oh, yes, you did.
What
You've
did
had a couple.
School sports?
School sports
no,
and coaching.
No, but that's not about sports. That's not about sports. That's not about the playing of sports. That's about...
Is NBA, or they not? Is it not played by humans?
Hey, I said it was okay.
Dealing with the human condition?
I said it was okay. Amy,
does
get
Amy
you back
go,
on another episode.
Does Amy go to the Super Bowl party?
Yes.
So there you go.
mainly to watch the commercials hang out with
everyone. These two episodes, even though they're back to back, they're bigger than just sport.
I feel like I'm the only one at our Super Bowl party that actually watched the Super Bowl.
Maybe. Do you remember?
I love the commercials, yeah, and I love the halftime show, and I love just hanging out and eating food with my friends over at the S's house.
Shout out.
It's all great. And to me, the actual game is secondary.
Do you remember the year?
Tertiary. How do you say third?
Tertiary.
Tertiary. Hey.
Or what you did yesterday in the toilet.
I don't have a biology degree.
Tertiary. You remember the year?
You just ruined it.
Do you remember the year? Listen.
I'm listening.
That the New England Patriots were way down to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, of course
I
do.
Dude, everybody. I think we were going to Sunday school class. I forgot the name of it. The Gathering. So we were going to that at the time.
Okay.
And I think it was at the Kanye's
house.
Okay.
And, dude, it's... You know, everybody left at halftime. The party was over.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the time you got home, it's like fourth quarter. You're like, what?
They missed the best part.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Did you stay through that?
Oh, of course. Now, Ken, I love football.
I mean, are you the last one there? Everybody's already left and you're there.
I'm usually right near the last one. Now I will stay and help clean up or whatever else. I feel like if I'm going to stay that late, I should do that. But they're always like, no, you know, whatever. Or I'll just be proactive. But yeah, I like to stay till the end of the game. I'm there for the game too. Yes, it's important to me. But anyway, way off topic.
Anywho,
it's okay. I said I'm okay with talking about today's topic.
Yeah.
So to your point, this was just what, two days ago now, I think. Very recently.
Right.
LeBron James
passed
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
yes,
as the all-time scoring leader for the NBA.
Yes.
Okay. How many points? Just told you.
Yeah, 38,390.
That's what he's got. 38,387.
Yeah, and then he's not done playing, so every time he scores a basket, it's going to go up.
Exactly. That's exactly
right. But the point is, he broke a record that's been there for 30 years.
Yeah, a long time.
40 years almost.
40 years. It's big time. It's big time.
Do you remember... Did you watch basketball back then?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar days? No.
So I did. I mean, my dad's a huge sports fan.
At 10 years old?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, my dad's a huge sports fan. So.
I started watching. Now, Houston, I followed the Rockets, but that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So that was more like 84, 85 when I really started getting into the NBA. So,
But at that time.
What was...
The big one was the Lakers against the Celtics around that time.
Yeah, no, I remember that. Bird and Magic and all that.
I watched. Huge fan. Again, my dad was a big sports fan, so we watched everything. Boxing matches to golfing to everything.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar stopped playing in 89. He played all the way through there. I wouldn't have thought he played that late, but man.
I think that was about the time Jordan was about to launch. Like, Jordan came in the league 83, 84,
yes.
And he got knocked on his butt a few years in a row.
He did.
Literally and figuratively. And then finally, that 89 was, I think, the peak of the Detroit Pistons. So they were about to win their second title, maybe their first. I don't remember. But
Detroit had two back-to-back.
Yeah, and then Jordan had to get past them.
Yeah. People don't remember, they forget, that Jordan in the beginning, he was a tremendous scorer. Like, he would always lead the league in scoring, but the team around him wasn't very good. And for the first, three seasons, they just weren't very good. And I always remember thinking, I love watching the Bulls because Jordan, but, you know, they're not that good. They're not going to do anything, and they didn't. But then, you know, they pulled in more pieces, Pippen, Kerr, that type of thing, and they put it together clearly. And then, you know, once you had a good team around him in his prime, the only thing to stop him was his retirement. So, once again, thanks a lot, Jordan, for going to play baseball.
My wife and I started dating in 1990.
Okay.
She loved the Bulls.
And
I hated the Bulls.
Boo.
Now, this is crazy.
Me too.
I loved Air Jordans.
Yeah, okay.
But I hated Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Can that happen?
Of course it can.
Because that's what happened.
You could separate the two.
So... When the Bulls played the Jazz.
Okay.
Or they played, I forget who they won their titles against, Phoenix one year.
Yep.
random people. Anyway, I would always go for the other team.
Okay.
It didn't matter who it was, even if I didn't like them. I was against Jordan.
They were certainly in that same category as Duke for me, where I just hated Duke. So I rooted for anyone against Duke.
I hate Duke as well.
Still hate Duke.
And North Carolina.
Hate the Dukes. I like North Carolina. I like North Carolina.
No.
I've always hated Duke. Anywho.
It's the third time.
Why do we need an anywho
because
there?
Because we're getting off topic.
No, we got time.
Okay, listen. Listen, here's my point. Here's where we're getting at. So LeBron.
Yes.
Just passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
So what we do, when I say we, I mean anyone that likes to talk about sports.
Right.
What we love to do is we love to sit around and have the pointless argument of who's the best all time. Right?
Yes.
And who right now, who would be, ironically, he just passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but who right now would people discuss as the two best of all time?
Two best players?
Yeah, NBA players.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and LeBron.
There's still some people out there, not many people that remember it live, but Wilt Chamberlain's up there as well.
No, and as he should be. I told you, he and Michael Jordan had the exact same scoring average per game, 30.1, and they're the highest on the list. They just didn't play as long as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and LeBron.
Right, and there's some other things, you know, when you're dealing with history a long time ago that could be for them or against them.
It could be. But here's we love to argue about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way to know. There's no way to know. And I don't care what records say. I don't care what game film says. I don't care the number of rings you have. None of that can actually compare two different players of two different generations.
No,
it just can't be done.
If you know sports and know NBA and watched it for a long time, it's a bit of a different game nowadays than it was in the 80s.
Yes,
which was different than it was in the 50s.
You're getting at what I'm getting. Yeah, at. Absolutely. So, but it doesn't change the fact that we love to sit around and have this discussion. I remember I was at it was back when I played softball, not too long ago, 6-7 years ago. And in the dugout, we were talking about LeBron, and then everybody got in a real passionate, you know, because it was all sports guys, of course.
Yeah.
And we all got into, and I was saying that LeBron is going to end up, and this was like 7-8 years ago. I was like,
yeah,
LeBron is going to end up as being the best basketball player. Oh, no. Michael Jordan, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you're just saying that because, first of all, you're romanticizing Jordan a little bit because his time has passed. And also, mm-hmm. you're discounting James because his time is current and he's in the middle of it. You're discounting it. But when it's all said and done, he's going to score more points. He's going to have more records.
Yeah.
And he's a better player all around. If I had to pick one going one-on-one, I'll pick LeBron James 10 out of 10 times.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I would.
No way. I'd completely disagree.
He can play all five positions, Ken.
I understand your argument.
You think Jordan can play center?
I think if he wanted to.
He cannot. He cannot. A big 7-foot tall Shaquille O'Neal is going to bounce him around and swat him like he's nothing.
I think Jordan, if you're picking a team, okay, so if you're picking a pickup game,
okay,
and you can only have one of them, you're going to pick LeBron?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't.
100%.
I'd pick Jordan because he won't lose. It don't matter. You can put him in any situation. He's not going to lose. If you told me how to play center.
Frankly, I'd rather play with LeBron. He seems more fun to play with than Jordan.
Jordan passes the ball more.
Jordan's a jerk.
But Jordan would cut your jugular and watch your dead body lie on the ground as he jumped over you to dunk it.
You know, the funny part is if he was listening, he'd be like, yeah, that's about right.
Oh, yeah. He admits he's a jerk.
No, I know. He does. He does. I'm not questioning.
And I'm not a Jordan fan, by the way.
No, I like to watch him play. I mean, there's an artistry to his play.
Yeah.
You can't argue that. When I think of the most artistic basketball player of all time, it's Michael Jordan. There's no question about that to me. But if you're talking about the best all around in all aspects of the game player, it's LeBron James.
Jordan was a better defender. And Jordan was a better offensive player.
I disagree with that. He
won defensive player of the year.
No.
Oh, yes, he did.
I know he did, Ken.
When he put his mind on it, yeah.
LeBron James is a better defender.
Go ask people that watched Jordan.
He's a better rebounder. You cannot question that.
I'm not going to disagree with that. Okay. But
Jordan's probably got him on the assist, but I don't know. Probably not by much. I need to look up their assist numbers.
I mean, besides Pippen, Jordan didn't have great teams.
I know he didn't, Ken, but still.
He put him on his back and won.
But
and I don't like him.
We're getting sidetracked. I don't want to get deep into the numbers. What I'm saying is we love to have this argument, and it's pointless because there's no way to definitively prove it.
Yeah.
Now, I thought about this a little bit. I was like, what's a sport that really hasn't changed much in a very long time? Let's say the past 100 years hasn't changed much at all. Give me a sport.
I got tennis, golf, and baseball.
I would disagree with that because there's equipment involved in those.
Oh, yeah. Equipment's changed.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've evolved the sport considerably. The equipment.
The equipment has
so something that there's really not much equipment.
The mile?
Okay. Running.
Yeah.
Running. Okay.
Shoes a little bit, but not much.
Shoes a little bit. You're right. Now the surfaces, and they can make an argument for that they have changed the surfaces. So yeah. So I looked it up. I looked it up because I was kind of curious about this. It's been almost 100 years, 1936.
Okay.
What happened that year?
Well, since you're talking about running, I'm going to break in the mile. Mile record, four-minute mile.
It's not about that, no. That didn't happen back then. That was much later.
I don't know.
That was like in the 70s. 1936, a great athlete performance.
Okay, now go rewind.
Oh, my goodness.
What happened in the 70s? I think you're wrong about that.
Yeah, that whole there's a movie about it where the guy was in prison. The guy was in prison, and he broke the four-minute mile. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, Ken. Pick up a book occasionally. Would you please? 1936, Berlin.
Jesse Owens.
Yes, thank you. The Olympics. Okay. He broke several. He knocked it out of the park, right?
Yeah.
He was just and there's no question that Jesse Owens was a generational athlete.
Sure.
There's zero question about that. And I'm not. What I'm saying is that's one of the best athletes of his time.
Yes.
And he ran the 100-yard dash.
Yes.
In 10.3 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. Which just crushed everybody else. He crushed them. Won the gold medal, all that. Since then, 1936.
Yeah.
How many recorded athletes have run a faster time than 10.3?
Let's say 15.
Try 2,000.
Okay. A lot more than I thought. I was going to say, Usain Bolt probably blew that out of the water.
He did. Now, this
and
one article,
he posed.
One article was pretty impressive. What was interesting, in that they were kind of comparing the surface that Bolt ran on. Also, that Bolt had like starting blocks, and Jesse Owens, I guess, had to kind of dig in.
Yeah, they had a little mini like garden shovel, and they would make their own hole, and you made it yourself.
Yeah, but
at the start.
You still had, though, like starting block-ish, if you will. You still had something to push against.
Sure you did.
Because there would be a big difference between starting blocks and absolutely nothing, like a free start. So they've made an argument there to say, well, it'd be closer, but it's Bolt would have still won. And here's my point, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is that in the last 100 years, running hasn't really changed much, okay? But what has changed?
Training.
Absolutely.
Nutrition.
Absolutely.
Health care.
Yes. Yes. I mean, check.
I don't know if they had penicillin back then.
What I'm saying is we continually progress. We don't degress. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Degress. Decline? Decline. Degress? Is degress really a word? Are you sure?
No, not.
I don't think so either. We don't decline.
Digress. Yes.
Digress.
Yes, it is.
Digress.
I guess it depends on how you pronounce it.
We don't decline, right? We continue to progress. And so through better training, through better dietary habits, through better facilities to train in, to better surfaces, to better shoes, you name it, we get better and better and better at making better athletes, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So my point is that you can't ever compare athletes of different generations to one another. It is absolutely pointless. But we love to do it.
Sure.
You know, but...
But there's no way around a record being a record. I mean, I get it.
I understand that. I understand.
You know,
but that LeBron James record will be broken too. All records are broken.
Maybe.
Eventually. Now, I'll tell you some records that won't be broken. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough, because there's some sports that have changed very much. Baseball.
Yes.
What has changed in baseball that has definitely...
The pitching philosophy.
That's exactly right. What specifically about it?
I mean, we have relievers and...
We do.
And
we do.
Closers and...
Pitchers whatever. In baseball...
They don't teams, pitch full games.
That's right. Teams have figured out...
Yeah.
To get more out of pitchers, they pitch them less innings. They pitch them less frequently.
Yeah,
so you will never see... The Nolan Ryan strikeout numbers, career strikeout numbers again. I don't think that'll ever be broken. You'll never see the 300 wins again because guys aren't allowed to pitch that deep into mm-hmm. every single game. They aren't allowed to start 40 games in a season. They just don't do it because teams know that's how you burn guys out. And they don't want to burn them out. They want to bleed them, you know, for many years. So ironically, there's a sport where you do have records that I don't think will ever be broken because of the way the sport has changed. In
by the way, Roger Bannister was
yes,
the one I was trying to...
that's right.
It was like 1954-ish.
It was 54?
Yeah. I told you it was older.
I remember seeing the movie, and it looked like it was the 70s.
It may have been filmed in the 70s.
Well, maybe it just felt like the 70s to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But was he the first one to break it?
Yeah.
I told you.
The 4 minute.
Do you know what the current... I looked this up today because BWC and I were discussing this. Do you know what the mile record is right now?
I'm going to say like 3 minutes, 45 seconds,
like
3 minutes, 50.
342, 341? Yeah. Can you... 341?
So this
I
is,
can't run yeah. that fast for 10 yards, man.
So
I'm serious. It's that fast.
We got into PT school. This is me and the people I got in with. Anyway, 1999. So how old are we in 1999? 26. 26. 26, 27-ish.
Yep, exactly right, yeah.
So I'm in decent shape at that time.
Okay.
So we decide we're going to do like an...
Still had most of your hair.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
we decided to do like an NFL combine type thing.
Oh,
so,
nice. I like
so
it.
So standing... high jump.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Your vertical leap.
Yep.
Did some like, sit-ups over 30 seconds, sit-ups over a minute.
Nice.
We went out to the track and ran 40 time.
Okay.
Then we ran the 400 time.
Okay. Okay.
And I was right at, I think, the 40 time. I think I was like 5 flat. So I'm not. I was actually disappointed I didn't get in the fours.
That's pretty impressive, though. 5 flat for people that don't know. That's pretty fast.
For 27 and not. And then I ran the 400, and I ran it around a minute. I thought I was going to die.
I did the same thing, and I ran it like a minute 8, and I thought I was going to die, too. I thought it was going to be so easy that I'm going to knock this thing out. And I was like,
well, we did it at the beginning of, like a summer, and then trained during the summer, and then did it again. It did make some difference, but it wasn't like crazy. Okay.
Hey, I like that though.
But I was most impressed. I got my vertical leap up because I'm terrible.
You have like a negative vertical
low
leap.
Low center of gravity.
For some reason, you're lower when you jump.
Yes.
I don't even know the physics of that.
But this brings me another story. It's funny.
Oh, good grief.
You know my sister-in-law?
Angel?
Shout out.
Sister-in-law?
Oh, Christy.
Shout out.
Who are you talking about?
I was thinking cousin-in-law or cousin. I don't know, man.
I'm surprised you pulled that one out your rear, though.
I know. It's true. It's
true. I'm impressed with that.
I'm sorry. Christy.
Shout out.
Sister-in-law.
So we were talking about something, and she likes challenges.
Oh, of course.
By the way, I think you need to like throw something out for her.
Oh, like what?
I don't know. Make something up. Just like you can't do that.
Like me against her?
Yeah.
Just tell her that she can't do it.
Just tell her she can't do it. I'll challenge you. Let's do it right now. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, we kind of do it all the time. They live 3 doors down from us. So it's like, you want to. And her son does it. Do you want to race?
Oh, yeah.
You want to race Unkin down to the house?
I
blow him out of the water still.
Well, someday soon, buddy. Yeah. He's going to pass you up. But anyway.
So she said I couldn't jump higher than her.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
And what's my saying?
Don't tell me I can't do something. Oh, don't let the fat fool you.
Yes. Don't let the fat fool you. So I think I've even told this on the show before. We put powder on our hands. And then you jump up
and touch. Yeah. I remember you telling me,
Well, you put a mark where you're standing with your arm as high as it can go, and you put a piece of tape or put a line on the wall.
Okay.
And then you jump with powder on your hands and touch it, and then you measure the difference.
Okay.
So, yeah, I beat her.
Nice.
There's no question.
Nice. So
what were we talking about?
We're talking about the NBA and records.
Yes.
Okay. But we're just fascinated with records, and we're fascinated with talking about who's the best. You know, we love to have that conversation, but it's
usually though like a group of people. I mean, like, okay, let me throw out one.
Okay.
And go back to the beginning of time.
Okay.
Baseball.
Okay.
Just name a couple that two or three that are the best of all time.
Ty Cobb.
Okay.
Ted Williams.
Okay.
Roger Maris.
He didn't say the one I wanted.
Oh, crap. Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth. Maybe the biggest guy of all time.
Yeah, yeah, no. And he was a really good pitcher. People don't know that.
He won a bunch of games before he kind of switched to just hitting.
That's right. But he was a good pitcher.
Maybe one of the best ever.
I don't know about that, but
he was very
good.
I mean, at the time.
Okay.
And he hit more home runs than some teams.
Yeah, I knew that. Okay. I did know that.
So yesterday on the radio, it was just coincidence. They're telling a story about him. The next day, they were doing a back-to-back game. And so the next day, they can't find him.
Okay.
He was literally passed out in an alley.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, they're like, they went off on a tangent. We don't say that anymore. Who's passed out in an alley anymore? I mean, really? Or passed out in a ditch? Really, does that happen? No.
I don't know. It does.
So, but anyway, they had to go get him out of the street, and he played a great game, hit like four home runs, and we don't see that. Even up into the 60s, like with Mickey Mantle.
Right, right.
Oklahoman, famous for partying and being drunk.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, no training.
Yeah.
These guys, I mean, if you want to see pure talent back then, it was because if you could do it, you could do it, and you probably could do it drunk.
Apparently.
Pitchers, high on coke, you know?
Yes.
I'm not encouraging it, but pitched a great game on coke.
No, no.
Extra 5 miles an hour.
We're getting way off topic here. Here's what I'm getting at, Ken.
Are you getting at anything? I want to talk about LeBron James and basketball.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, I do think, once again, that it's a pointless argument because there's just no way to compare them because today's athlete will always be better than yesterday's athlete because of the technological improvements, period. End of statement. So you cannot compare them. Now, you can say, hypothetically, if they both existed at the same time and they played in the same league and constantly played each other, then you can make arguments of who's best. But there's no way to do that. So it just feels like such a pointless exercise. And people get into that, and I'm like, I'm done.
I like it a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to go overboard, but again, you got probably Kobe Bryant could transcend time. Michael Jordan transcends time. LeBron James does. Going way back to the 50s, I think that Wilt Chamberlain defied time. Because put Wilt Chamberlain today with today's training and stuff. I mean, you can at least imagine it.
No, I can. I'm not saying that they wouldn't be great today. I'm not saying they wouldn't be great. But would they be greater than today's greats? No.
You remember the great highlight player, Jamal Joubert? I mean, he's the best of all time. There's nobody even.
No, I don't.
Do you know? I bet you most of the crowd doesn't even know what that is. Highlight?
They probably do. I know. I think there's only like one.
Maybe one
arena in Miami.
Yeah,
or something.
It's somewhere down.
It's like squash.
It
or something.
It used to be pretty big
what
in the 60s and 70s.
Hey,
but,
I'm gonna totally
hold on. That is a sport where the ball travels the fastest.
Great. It's also a sport for rich people.
It's
like
a betting. It's a betting.
Tennis game. And golf.
No, this is more like horse racing and
polo.
Dog track. No, it's a betting game.
Okay.
It's not.
Yeah, but rich people play it.
People aren't throwing cash around your bookie at a tennis match.
They might be. Maybe not your tennis matches.
Okay. No, it's not happening.
Listen, I'm going to transition a little bit.
I got more to talk about. I'm coming back to this. I'm just letting you know. Do you want to stay on it now or do you want to go?
I wanted to talk about, then we also have the recent trades. And I wanted,
oh, that's
I
what
wanted,
I was, yeah. I'm,
okay.
I'm, that's
can
what
I,
I'm
can
talking
I start
about.
On that?
Yeah, absolutely, because that's where I was going.
And now this is a discussion that is relevant and it does have a point, and we can continue to have this one. And I think, well, there's reason to have this argument. It is the fact that free agency and trades being as frequent as they are, and I'm specifically talking about basketball. I'm not going to go into the other sports, okay? But specifically about basketball, in so many ways, they've ruined the sport for me. Okay? Because like you said before, the days of the Lakers, Magic and the Lakers, and Bird of the Celtics, and it being the same team year after year after year, and there being 10-year rivalries, those days are bye-bye. They're gone.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Unless something changes. They would have to change some of the rules to trades and that.
Right. Like they would have to restrict. Yes. And they're not going to do that.
Let me specify.
They're not going to do that.
The contracts.
Because here's my point.
Would have to be renegotiated.
You fall in love with a player or group of players like we did with the Thunder. Remember when we grew up with the Thunder and they were just little bebes and the Russell Westbrook. Oh, who's that cute number zero?
People can't
see
what you're doing, and that length, the way you're talking makes me think of something else completely. That's not nice.
Okay. My point is that we were both infants together.
I was witness to that.
Oh my gosh. Can you let it go? We were both infants together in that the city of Oklahoma City were infants to the game, NBA game of basketball live.
Yes.
And most of our players were very young, new players. Kevin Durant was in his second year. Westbrook was in his first year. And then Harden comes along in his first year, the following year. And we weren't very good the first year, but then we made the playoffs, beat the Lakers. And so we really formed an identity with that group of players. Now, fortunate for us, I mean, we got three tremendous players, right? No question about that.
Yeah.
And then we got better and better and better. Never won the title. Made it to the championship, but never won the title. But we had so bonded and so loved that one team. And not just because they are Oklahoma City and we live in Oklahoma City, but because we kind of grew up together and we formed bonds. And then, boom, the first shoe drops, right? Who was the first shoe?
KD, July 4th.
No.
Harden.
Yes.
Okay.
Harden. The Rockets thing. The trade in the middle of the night, and he's at Cheesecake Factory, and he gets a text or whatever, and, hey, you're going to Houston, right? And then Durant, absolutely, was the biggest one, and that was a free agent. That was free agency. That wasn't a trade. He chose to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that broke our hearts, right? That hurt because it's literally him saying, I want to go play somewhere else, not with you guys.
At that time, it was kind of common if somebody big on the team was to go somewhere else. They would let the team know, and they were trying to, you know, let's get something out of it.
Well,
we basically got nothing out of the KD leaving.
We got nothing out of it.
And that was a hard pill to swallow.
We got nothing out of it.
Something to say on that. I mean, again, I've been an NBA fan, sports fan my entire life. I was kind of ticked off, but I understood it. Where there's people, people that look at the NBA and sports at a different level, like loyalty.
Yes.
You know, like we're best friends with KD. Why would he want to leave me?
It's not like best friends, but you do form a bond, a true bond. Jason S.
Shout
was
out.
Deeply hurt, and I understood it. I was not as hurt to the degree, but I was definitely mad, and I didn't understand it.
Well, I knew that our championship. Chance was gone.
Oh, absolutely.
That's mine.
Absolutely. But it's in that instance that I realized now really you want to go back. LeBron is really
started it all.
He did, you know, the taking my talents to South Beach, right? That is infamous.
Yes, it
is. When he chose to move to Miami and create the super team with Bosch and Wade and made such a freaking spectacle. You remember what a big show that was.
Right.
I was like, this is just it's awkward, it's over the top, it's unnecessary. And
well, some of that stuff was not, like, according to the rules of the NBA, some of that stuff was not.
I know.
It was shady.
It was.
You're not supposed to try to poach people.
But LeBron was kind of at his height and was kind of like, I'm going to flex I am the NBA and I'm going to do what I want to do. And you're here to watch the show, which is me and whatever I do. So watch the show. Now, to LeBron's credit, he's learned from that experience. I think he regrets it. I don't know if I've heard him use the word regret, but he does say, I could have handled that differently.
Well, he's talking about the press conference. He ain't talking about the move.
No, not just the move. Yeah, the press
conference. They had a show.
No, I know. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he said it was wrong to move.
I ignored that because that's what you're talking about, though, is the reason I do not like LeBron.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
You know, when he broke that record the other night, he's holding his arms up, and it was just almost like half fake, half, I don't even know the word. Like, yeah, he had planned out some of the stupid stuff he was going to do.
At this point in his career,
you know,
all that matters is breaking records, and that was one of the biggest records that he wanted to break.
He says he wants to win the title and all that stuff, but you could tell But during the game, get this, because I watched it.
Okay, I didn't watch it.
So he breaks it 10 seconds left in the third quarter. Okay, so we're almost to the fourth quarter.
Okay.
He goes to the bench, and he takes off his shoe, and he's, like, massaging the bottom of his foot, and he's like, okay, now that I got that out of the way, let's go win the game. So it was like, okay, clearly he was focused, because it wasn't like score 10 points.
Right.
He had to score 36 points, I think, or something to break the record.
That's right.
And in today's NBA, if you're scoring 36, is still a big game.
Very good game, yes.
You know, so they're feeding the ball, and they're behind. They lost the game.
By three, yeah.
So they came back at the end. There was a bigger gap there, and the Thunder were trying to waste time. And Westbrook stole the ball a couple times in a row. And they closed it like 9 points within 20 seconds.
Okay,
but long story short, I don't think he was concerned about winning the game.
No,
who's the other big dude that plays for them? I should know. Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
he didn't try the whole game. I think he was pissed.
Listen,
it's a bunch of crybabies.
Yeah, it is.
Golly, I was so frustrated watching it.
You know what they've learned is that you cannot just take three great players and put them together and expect them to do great things. Brooklyn. Example Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Example Philadelphia. Example the Lakers this year. They have Westbrook coming off the bench. Ken?
Back in our day, we picked up our team was the Houston Rockets. So Olajuwon, Drexler, and we picked up Barkley.
Remember that? Oh, of course I do.
And Pippen.
Yes.
Did not work. Those four guys.
Nope.
You think?
Nope.
I mean, I'm thinking we're cashing in a championship.
Yeah, right.
No, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
Around the same time, the Lakers, they got, the mailman from the Jazz.
Oh, Malone. Okay.
And they got Gary Payton from the Sonics, the glove.
Yep.
So, I mean, you had a super team there for a little bit. And they didn't go anywhere.
But if your chemistry's not right, it ain't gonna happen.
Nope.
And I will make the argument that there are just certain players that are just toxic, and I don't care how good they are. Dwight Howard is example A.
Oh, I liked him early in his career, and then he just
is toxic big time.
I think the knock on him. I saw him on another show. It was like a reality show where they do military training, and those guys called him out.
Really.
Yeah,
nice.
they're like, why are you? And they're sitting there like in an interrogation room.
Okay,
and these are celebrities trying to do special forces training.
Okay,
it was stupid, by the way. But anyway, first episode or two, I tried to watch it. They have him in there. They turn around a laptop and they're showing him all the headlines.
Oh, nice!
All the bad headlines.
Nice.
And they're like, "Why are you a punk, man?" I'm paraphrasing, and he's like, people don't understand me. I try hard. I've always tried hard. I go above and beyond. And he's like, well, I'm sitting here griping you out, and you're grinning at me.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't.
Exactly.
Like, why are you grinning?
Yeah.
And they're being mean.
Nice.
But it was kind of interesting. Yeah, but
great.
He doesn't bother me as bad, but the biggest one right now, he just got traded. He's on this list. Who? Biggest punk in
Kevin
NBA.
Durant.
Westbrook?
Oh, Kyrie Irving. No.
Flat Earth.
No, you're
we
right.
We talked about him with the anti-Semitism.
And
he's crazy. I think he's literally psychologically diagnosable.
No, he is. I'm not going to disagree with that. I will make the argument, too, that there are players like Westbrook,
mm-hmm.
like Harden, that are toxic is strong. They aren't the right kind of team player is I guess the best way to capture it. They're fantastic individual players. They're fantastic athletes.
I think
elite in the world. There's no question about that.
I think
Harden is one of the best scorers in the world. There's no question. But his teams don't win. That's the bottom line.
I think Westbrook gets a little bit of a bad knock because the bottom line is, if you're looking at it from an objective point of view, He's not a great shooter percentage-wise.
No, and absolutely not.
He takes a lot of shots, but yeah. that guy, there's nobody tries harder. I've heard from a lot of people that say he's actually a great teammate. I don't think he's a bad teammate. I haven't heard that. I've heard that from Paul George and there's a couple other people. I mean, it's not a hidden statistic.
I get all my information from my friend John P.
Shout out.
He's a ball boy. Well, was a ball boy. Now he's like a locker room attendant. He's been with the Thunder for years.
Nice.
And he's with the players like all the time. So he sees who they really are.
Well,
he gives me the
Westbrook is a jackhole to the media.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're counting that,
he's
not
very nice
worse.
In real life either, man. He's just not.
Well, I've heard...
I know the truth.
I've heard he had some special treatment at the Thunder, but I think the Thunder does that probably to the...
Yeah.
I don't think
And forget the whole, like Utah Jazz blow up and mm-hmm. the numerous altercations that he's had with... That book, Boomtown... You know, you never read that or listened to it. You should. It's very good. Very good.
Is it a podcast?
No, it's a book that a guy wrote where it's like one chapter is about the rise of the Thunder, rise and fall of the Thunder.
Yeah.
And then the next chapter is about the Oklahoma land run, that type of thing, like comparing the two. It's really good. It's really good. But he's a member of the media, and he calls Westbrook out. He's like, he was a jerk to me every time.
Yeah, he was a jerk to the media. Are you talking about Barry Trammell?
No.
Wasn't Barry Trammell the author?
So,
you're talking about trades.
Yes.
Who else? I mean, I've truly been a fan of the NBA since I can remember. I mean, watching, I'm talking 5-6 years old.
Okay.
And I follow a bit of history. I'm not a historian, but I follow a bit of history in sports. And so this has been the biggest trade deadline that I've ever seen.
It's huge. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
KD, Irving.
Okay, so who did KD? Just a minute. Just go down this pathway. KD left the Nets. Kyrie left the Nets. They can't get along up there. So KD goes to who?
He went to the Phoenix Suns.
Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Phoenix Suns now. I'm going to get a little nerdy.
Yeah.
They've got DeAndre Ayton. They've got
Booker.
Chris Paul. Booker. And now KD. They're gonna be top notch.
Well, they better be.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But you never know. Again, the chemistry.
No,
never
you're
know.
Right.
That, and then assuming health.
Yeah.
Health is a big one. So then Kyrie went where?
To Dallas, which I don't understand at all.
They needed somebody to take the load off of who
care.
Can handle the ball.
I don't care. Doncic is fantastic.
He can't win it by himself though. He did his best last year.
Love to watch that guy.
So
smooth.
They went to the Western Conference Finals. Last year.
The Mavericks.
Doncic plays no defense, though. None. Negative defense.
That's a little harsh.
No, it's not.
His defense
isn't very good,
but okay.
Kyrie actually can play defense.
Okay.
Kyrie gets a knock, but he's actually not that bad of a defender. But they brought somebody in that can score when Doncic is on the bench, and he can also handle the ball and let Doncic be a shooter off the ball. Kyrie, believe it or not, is actually not bad off the ball, but he's an a-hole.
Yeah, he is.
And he's, I think... Kind of being, how am I going to describe myself?
I don't know where you're going.
Like somebody that wants something bad to happen, a cynic maybe.
Okay.
Like I'm ready to watch this train wreck.
Right.
I want to see the Dallas Mavericks and the Suns in the Western Conference Final. And I want to see the Lakers go out in the first round. I want it all to go to hell in a handbasket. We don't know what that means. But I want it to happen, and I'm ready for this train wreck.
I'm excited. I'm kind of surprised that Jerry Jones didn't pick up Irving for the Cowboys because he loves to pick up controversial players. And I just thought, well, that's a good fit.
That's a good try for a joke. It was pretty lame, but I would.
So
I
says
would
you,
really,
audience. Dude, let me know what you think about that one.
I would love to see Westbrook playing defensive back.
Oh, it'd be pretty great.
Or being a receiver.
You know,
same with
Kyrie. So many of these guys are just pure athletes. They could easily play both sports.
Oh, yeah.
Bo Jackson isn't the only one. Deion Sanders isn't the only
LeBron.
One.
LeBron.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, and people give Michael Jordan a hard time. In that last year, he hit like 270.
Yeah.
He was bringing it up. He was actually becoming a pretty good baseball player.
I've heard both sides of this argument. I got to think he wouldn't have made it. Even if he'd have concentrated
on
it. No,
I'm not saying that he would have made it in the major leagues,
yeah.
But he was doing well, in professional baseball. People think that he wasn't, and there was because he's just a tremendous.
I don't know
athlete.
If I saw it on Yahoo. I don't know if it's old. I don't know if it's new, or YouTube. I said Yahoo, YouTube.
You did.
But Deion Sanders was talking about playing both sports.
Okay,
and he said the baseball is the hardest thing ever.
Oh yeah,
hitting the ball.
Yeah, sure.
It's just the hardest thing ever.
It is, absolutely.
So
yeah.
So I don't think Jordan would have made it. Who else right. got traded? It wasn't so there was KD.
I didn't pay attention to all of them.
Kyrie. There's yeah. another big one. Oh, Westbrook got traded.
Yeah, I told you. I said that earlier. Westbrook.
So yeah. So he gets traded
to who?
To the Jazz.
Oh my goodness.
My guess is he's not going to stay there. That's like his arch. In case you don't know, audience, okay. it's his arch nemesis. Yes. He got in a fight with the fan.
Yes. Very infamous.
And if you're not in the know, the Jazz fans are regarded as racist, pretty racist.
You know, and I think that's unfair to them. They are.
I don't
largely,
know whether it's true or not. I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, it's a Mormon town, right? So it's like 90% white
all
or
white,
something.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of white people in that crowd. So I don't know if it's racist or there's just such a large grouping of white people. I don't know. But, yeah, it doesn't – I don't – once again, Westbrook, he's a tremendous athlete. I love to watch him play. But he's toxic to a team. He is. He doesn't do well. The team doesn't do well anywhere he goes. They just don't, period.
No, you're
– End of the argument.
If you had a team – and I would love to say that that's not true, but it is because
yeah,
I like
– There you go.
My
Boom.
Son and I, Ian,
shout out.
Westbrook was our favorite player.
He's tremendous
at the time.
He's a tremendous athlete.
Yeah.
He's tremendously fun to watch play because of his athleticism. But he's
I
a
think,
jerk.
I think
he's not a good
have.
Teammate. He's not a good team player. He's not a good shooter.
No.
And at the end of the day, he doesn't win ball games. He doesn't win championships. And Harden chokes. He chokes in the playoffs. He chokes at the when the lights are the brightest. He chokes. And there are players like Michael Jordan. That's the reason he's regarded as one of the best, not just because he rose to those occasions.
Absolutely.
LeBron rises to the occasion. I'll tell you somebody else who rises to the occasion that gets very, very little publicity is...
Stephen Curry?
No, Leonard. Kawhi.
Yeah.
Kawhi rises to the occasion. That guy is an elite of elite.
Yeah, but
he's so quiet.
He's played 20 games in the last 4 years.
I know. He's been hurt. It's been sad. But he's so quiet.
Yeah, they're not
quiet. You know, even when he was so great with the Spurs, and then with the, was it the Clippers? Or then he went to
Toronto.
Toronto.
And won the title.
He won the title. He was so great, but he's so quiet that no one really likes to talk about him.
But guess what he's done?
What has he done?
He did the same thing.
No,
he did the whole LeBron thing.
Yeah, I know. He wanted to get out of San Antonio.
Getting back to that real quick. That I agree with you, a statement you made there. That's hurt.
Mark this one for the record.
That's hurt the NBA more than anything. And I think they have to correct that to some extent.
Yes.
Basically,
yes.
With the LeBron era, we have switched from the team being in control to the player. Not even a few players. It's just couple put the all superstars
and
control of the league.
And what you as a fan are forced to do is you are forced to be a fan of the player and not the team.
Well, the player's becoming the general manager. LeBron picks the players on the team. There's a comparison from that to something I deal with, Brent's dealt with. Dealing with medical people being good business people.
Okay. Yeah,
you
sure.
Know, there's some that probably are.
Right.
But there's some that aren't.
No, right. They're just geared differently. Yeah,
And so I think you run into that in the NBA. If you're a great player, it doesn't make you a good general manager.
No, of course it doesn't. Of course
maybe
it doesn't.
Maybe it may make you a worse one.
But here's...
You know, and so again, you have... And what I deal with, you have a lot of medical people have tried to go do their own thing.
Yes.
And
including you.
Property, owning your own businesses.
Yes.
And just it doesn't always...
Because you all think you're smarter than us because you got a biology degree.
I didn't think that. I started one, so Jenny can see so my wife can stay on with...
All right, listen. I'm going to say this, then I'm done with this
topic. We're done?
No, I'm going to say this, and then I'm done. You could talk more about it if you want. It is sad to me because I grew up watching the Rockets.
Love the Rockets.
And we had a core group, Akeem Olajuwon.
Yep.
Spent not his entire career. He went to Toronto, I think, in the end.
Yeah, but we're not gonna count that.
That's where you go when you're you're ending your career. We don't count that. Michael Jordan didn't end his career.
Wizards.
That's right. Didn't end his career in Chicago.
But we don't count that.
But it's very late in the game when it's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's Tom Brady, kind of the same thing. Although you know he
won a title,
won a Super Bowl. So that's back in an era when players stayed with teams for long periods of time.
Yes.
You formed identities with those teams, with bonds, with those players, and with the team. And there was just so much more love that I had personally for the team and for the players. Well, now I feel like there's just, what am I supposed to root for them? Because they say the name of the city that I currently live in on their jersey. Is that why I should root for them? I don't know, Ken. You tell me, right? Like, I don't know. Now,
I was going to answer that.
That being said, I will let you answer it. This year, the Thunder are they're a very quiet bunch of no-names, basically, right? Like, outside Oklahoma City, I don't know that anyone could name you two players. They might be able to name SGA. Because
SGA's getting there.
He is. Yeah. He's borderline superstar status.
Yes.
And he's good enough to be a superstar.
Yes.
He's better than Westbrook. Okay.
Yes.
And I'd rather have him than Westbrook, but he will never get the attention that Westbrook gets. But other than that, I don't know that anybody, but we've got some really, really good team players that are quiet, that don't get a lot of press. And it's starting to become more fun for that reason. Like, we don't have egos. We're just like this quiet team over here that we're gonna hit you in the mouth a little harder than you think, and we're gonna give you a little more. And so I'm starting to get back into it. And I like that aspect of that. We're just quietly, these no-name guys, if you will, are just home. They feel like hometown boys because the rest of the world doesn't know them or own them.
Well, the kids nowadays would call them tryhards. Which, again,
I know.
You remember we had this conversation today. Yes. Who's my favorite baseball player?
Craig Biggio.
Craig Biggio from the Nationals. If you're a baseball fan, you know who he is. If you're not a huge baseball fan, you probably don't.
You don't.
But he's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
I got to see him hit his 3,000th hit.
Nice.
Huge fan. And why was I a big fan of his?
He played hard all the time. He never was less than 100%.
He played every game like it was the last day of his life.
He did, man.
Every single game.
He had the small man's mentality because he was a little smaller. But he was out there constantly you know, look at any of the smaller people in sport. Edelman, you know, they are constantly having to prove themselves. The running back for, I just lost his name, Christian.
Which team?
He was for the Panthers, and then he switched to San Francisco.
McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. I love that guy because he plays hard all the time because he's got small man mentality, right? Like, I got to play hard all the time. And Biggio was that type of player. And it's fun to watch those guys because they don't have the attitude. They're just like, I got to give 100% to hang
that's
with these
the
guys.
Thunder so right now. I mean, they could be down 20 in the fourth quarter.
I agree.
And they've won some games because let me tell you. The Lakers, if they're down 20 in the fourth quarter, they're not trying as hard as the Thunder.
No way.
And there's teams mailing
it in. When you get, like, in LeBron's defense, when you've been around that long and you've done everything there is to do, including breaking the all-time scoring record, the fire's kind of gone, man.
But they may not even make the playoffs. That's how bad they're behind the Thunder already.
I know, and I don't know that they really care. I'll tell you an exception to that fire being gone is Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's...
Tom Brady's
again,
a little
comparing
weird.
Comparing athletes to different generations.
Right. And
he's the best ever.
You can't
and I don't
argue,
like him.
You can't argue that he's the most winningest ever quarterback. There's no argument there.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to gauge it by who has won the most Super Bowls as a quarterback, there's no question. It's Tom Brady, right? But then if you really bring into, you know, like who's a better quarterback as far as ability and fun to watch? Oh, Mahomes all day. I'll take Josh Allen and Mahomes even before Tom Brady in his prime. Now, take that to the bank right there.
I'm kind of looking forward to Jalen Hurts, how he performs.
Oh, I am too. I'm excited about the Super Bowl.
By the time this one airs, we'll have already seen the Super Bowl. So
absolutely.
this is like Back to the Future. So bear with us. I got to get back in time.
I can't do that.
Don't take money. Don't take fame.
Hey,
don't need no
speaking
credit
of music,
Ken,
I heard a rumor.
Yeah? Chicken's back.
Booyah! All right, everybody. Thanks for sitting through the Amy.
Shout out.
This is your dessert. If you sat through all that, bless your heart. This is your dessert. Okay. We've got the chicken on a very short-term contract. eggs went back down. The demand for him and his services, if you know what I mean, went down. So he's like, hey, I'll throw you guys a bone, literally, and come in for an episode, maybe two. We'll see where it goes. But we got him today, and we're just going to be thankful for the opportunity to witness his brilliance, to be in his presence just a little bit longer. So without further ado, it's time for
Music with Chicken.
Okay, and Shane, the chicken has told me the song is older than we are.
Ooh, super old.
1972.
That's barely older than us.
I heard the chicken practicing this week.
Okay.
When he comes in at a decent time, because sometimes I'm asleep by the time he comes in.
No, I understand.
He's got his own thing outside.
I get it. Sad.
Let's hear it, chicken. And just like that, the chicken man is gone.
It impresses me, anyone that is gonna do a Elton John song. He's one of those artists that they're unique and his songs aren't easy.
He could be a eunuch. I've heard him talk about some weird things.
Wow. I'm a big Elton John fan. I'm gonna tell you that right now. And you could say what you want about his lifestyle, about the clothes, about the performances and the different things. At the end of the day, he's a tremendous artist, period. And I can appreciate his art. And I had that song pretty early. Actually, earlier than I thought I did. But it's Rocket Man.
Bing!
Booyah!
Two for two. You're getting better at
nice.
This.
I know I am. I'm starting to not be overwhelmed by the chicken's presence, because usually it's like stardom for a few seconds, and it's hard to, you know, get
like
my mind to stop racing.
Like J-Lo walked in the room.
Yeah, really, it's exactly the same. Butts are about the same size. And I take a minute to collect my thoughts. Now I do it just faster, so I'm able to concentrate faster on the song. So,
My wife and I had gone to, it's probably 10 years ago, they had The Piano Man, which is Billy Joel,
okay,
along with Elton John,
nice
concert.
What
do we call the Chesapeake now? Paycom.
Oh, Paycom.
Paycom Stadium, and
Paycom
it was. They came out and did, I don't know, 5-10 songs together.
Oh.
Then Billy Joel stayed out and did like 10 songs of his own.
Oh.
Then Elton John did 10 songs of his own. They both had their full bands, and the bands would leave and then all come play together. And then it was like 10 songs to end it
How
together.
Fantastic was that?
I think they're close to the same age, believe it or not.
Really?
They're close.
That is funny. I would
and
not have thought Elton
Billy
John
Joel
like
looked 20 years younger. Elton John barely could walk.
Really?
And this is 10 years ago. Yeah, maybe 9-8 years ago.
Well, was it a great show?
The best concert I've ever seen.
Of course.
Just because
of
you
course
know,
it was.
You
yeah.
know. Every single song, even if you're not a fan,
yeah,
you
yeah.
still know, because this is such they're both such part of pop culture that you know every word.
Paul McCartney
yeah.
was here. This was several years ago, not terribly good. Long ago. A good friend of mine went, and he told me he was paying like $300 a seat, and it was not even good seats. And I remember thinking, that's stupid. Well, after, I was like, man, you don't get many opportunities mm-hmm. like that. And I kind of regret that I didn't see it now to
yeah.
see Paul McCartney, one of the Beatles, live.
There's
it's just like, man, I wish I had that opportunity.
There's some culture-changing groups because, you know, there was no doubt the 60s,
Yes.
Brought in a new era of everything.
It did.
Everything.
It did. Elvis. And, the Beatles.
And so Elvis actually before that, but
the Who. My goodness.
So
Rolling Stones.
We went to a concert this year because we may not see or last year we may not see them again. And a lot of them have changed. It's not the original people. We saw the Journey, Toto.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I didn't know every song from Toto, but I knew 8 of the 10 they did.
Toto rocked it.
And they rocked it.
Sounded fantastic.
And then Journey, we knew every song from
Journey.
Yeah,
and they were good, but I'm telling you, I think Toto sounded better. But Journey was really good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Journey. But again, it's stuff like that. Jenny and I, she's a huge fan of how the Chicken got started.
With
Michael McDonald, exactly. And he was a part of the Doobie Brothers, so she made me take her down to Dallas to see the Doobie Brothers. They're 70-something years old. Let me tell you, though, quality of show,
yeah,
they performed better than Toto and Journey.
Wow.
It was a tight show.
Wow.
But you got to think, I mean, how many times has the Doobie Brothers sang Listen to the Music?
Yeah, of course.
10,000?
Did you like it better than your Toad the Wet Sprocket concert?
No, I like Toad better.
Okay.
But that's just, I'm a fan of theirs.
Nah, I know.
That's your favorite band. I'm not a big fan of the Doobie Brothers.
Okay.
But it was a great show.
Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of Toto, but they put on a great show.
So my mentality's changed as I'm getting older. You know,
$200
for a ticket 10 years ago. Forget it. I ain't doing it.
Right.
$300 to go see Elton John if he came back one more time.
I'm not gonna pay it to go watch some young artist like Taylor Swift or something. Okay, that's not happening.
The comedy show,
but U2 was like really hard to get. Yeah. And I remember
I would go.
Jason was talking about it, and he went to it, and he like had tickets, and he was like, I was gonna get him just to resell them if I didn't go, but he went. And talked about how much he was paying, and I was like, that's crazy.
Jason
now,
H
like,
or Jason S?
Shout out.
Shout
I'd go with
out.
You, buddy.
Well, but
I always think when people tell me that, I will. I was just like,
that seems steep. And the cheapskate in me is like, but then after I think about it, I'm like, that's a very rare opportunity to see an iconic artist that you may no longer hear them anymore versus, you know, Taylor Swift. There's going to be a million more Taylor Swift concerts.
Yeah,
you're not going to miss those.
We missed a big one the other day. It was a comedy show when we went to the Lake Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock.
I know.
That's probably never happened in Oklahoma City again.
Jason H invited me to that. Yeah. He's going to hook a brother up. But I was like, nope, I've already got plans. So
yeah, I mean, if we didn't have that other thing reserved, I would have gone for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. That's a big deal. But anyway.
We've gone way off.
We really have. Look at the time, Ken. This is your fault. We go so long because it's your fault.
That's what she said.
I doubt that.
That did be romantic.
Bazinga! I think it did. Think about it. All right, everybody, listen. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you're still listening.
Anywho,
we promise to limit the sports talk. We really, other than the one you just listened to.
Yeah, because we
not our next episode. It's the one they just listened to.
Yeah.
But we could tell them about it. It's the Super Bowl episode because by this time they're already.
Yeah, I want everybody.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's going to be good. I hope. We'll see. Anyway. All right, everybody. Thanks again. And until next time.